Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Vision of the glorified Jesus, Revelation 1, 12 to 20. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash about his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." We get this first initial revelation picture to the glorious Jesus, the one who has been crucified and raised and ascended and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. The seven golden lampstands, these are pictures of the church. I love the image of the church being a lampstand. As Jesus came as light into the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, his people, the body, would be a lampstand. He's the head, but we remain the light in this dark world in which we live. And Jesus is in the midst of them. It's very interesting. These seven cities, you could actually make a circle in Asia Minor and go around to each of them. There would have been other churches, but these are the ones that are highlighted for the moment. And Jesus is standing in the midst of them. He's always present. His own promise, when two or three gather in my name, I'm right there in the midst. And John's first picture comes with a Hebrew scripture, an Old Testament image, one like the Son of Man. This was the title that Daniel had given. The Son of Man was the central figure of history and their expectation. And these references all coming as an expression of what was long anticipated. What I like about this is a reminder of the power of the word, that basically what's happening to John is images that are always, or that are already a part of his thinking process, become the creative launching points for a fresh vision. God's prophetic Rhema word best flows when the people are ready to receive it, because they're saturated in his declared word already written down. There's vivid images here. First century power images were all around Roman society. Each of these cities were important in the Roman structure, and they were constantly, the people of God, seeing a vision of the Roman power structure. The state wanted to remind them that Caesar was Lord. Babylon is what comes up over and over in this letter, but it was Rome that was being referred to, and it's America that's being referred to today. The church is to be a lampstand. Jesus is in the midst in this evil empire called America. It's hard for us to sometimes remember this, because we become so attached to our own loyalties within a country. And all these vivid images are symbolism to just add to the presentation of Jesus as the one who is king. Royal robe, priestly sash, appearance, he's holy. Daniel likes the phrase, the Ancient of Days. His eyes are purifying. He has feet that are bronze. This is kind of off of Daniel's words of Nebuchadnezzar, who had feet mixed with iron and clay. And the pinnacle of it is his word that comes out. Symbolism. There's not literally a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth, but his word is the expression. And then this declaration, "Fear not." we live in an intimidating world. We live in a place where empires seek to take control, but the Lord is the one who is really in charge. My first so what is what I would call the not so obvious one, but it's a reminder to fill our minds with Scripture so that our imagination would be primed for the Holy Spirit to come and do new things. I have people ask me all the time, why do you have these nudges from God to do certain things and hear certain things? I don't know. It certainly is a grace element. I recognize that. But honestly, my imagination is loaded with scriptural images. It gives me an enchanted vision of this world. I haven't lost a sense of who the magnified Christ is. And so the obvious so what is in this declaration, Jesus is Lord. Wow, that takes away all sense of insecurity in my life. That takes away all sense of being in some kind of power struggle with other entities. I'm called to submit to Jesus and allow his authority. Even in that, as he reaches down and touches John with his right hand, he touches us with his right hand to say, now I send you forth as my light-filled ambassadors. My now what is simply once again to ask the Lord to reignite our imagination and our understanding of who Jesus is. May we get a view of the glorified Jesus in this Advent season. Lord, we can't necessarily fight ourselves into this. We can load our minds with pictures of you so that all the other images that are coming to us in society, images that point to other power structures, shrink in importance because you increase in importance to us. We give ourselves to you, desiring more and more of this. In Jesus' name, amen.